Meat by Neil Bebber. Read by William Kirby. The thing is, I had no choice. Whatever you, whatever society might say, because, let's face it, society is increasingly finding ways to stop us acting on our instincts, indulging our natural urges, exploring our curiosity, because it makes us more controllable. Like sheep. But we're not sheep, we're humans, top of the food chain. So it's in us, right? All of us, not just me. So it must be normal, natural, mustn't it? And anyway, what is civilized, really? What does it actually mean? It's just a word. The Romans were civilized, and look what they did. It's not as if I've fed a helpless family to the lions for my own entertainment, is it? Clapped and cheered as screaming children watch their parents shredded. But they're remembered, aren't they? The Romans, for their achievements, their viaducts, their arches, their sandals. So why shouldn't I be remembered for the things I've done? Remembered. Remembered. Dismembered. Dismembered. Never noticed that before. When we were kids, we ate raw sausages, raw pork, raw pig, porky pig. And the taste, well, that was something special, really special. They had to be room temperature. You can't taste anything when it's cold. Room temperature, body temperature. And the meat was pink. Pink and sweet. Wouldn't do it now, mind, the kind of shit they pump in. All the chemicals, the hormones, the water. The pigs are all bloated, can barely walk. And that's not normal. Not normal at all. It was as though she'd just appeared in front of me, floated over. No footsteps. I just looked up from the counter, from my meat, and there she was, a vision, like a painting, a classic, but with clothes on. "Excuse me," she says, gently miffed, as if she'd said it once already. And I'm smiling, inside, not sure what to say. Transfixed, like a dying man in a museum. And eventually I say something like, "Sorry, madam," miles away, talking to myself again, probably. "What can I do for you?" "I'm not sure," she says. "I've been told I need to..." "Never mind. Beef's got iron in it, hasn't it?" Word for word, that's what she said. "Yes, madam," I say, "full of iron, full of it. I mean, a magnet would probably stick to it." She pauses, smiles politely, and then says, "Good, and then I'll have some beef, please." "Some beef? I know, no idea." "Well, I've got minced beef, sliced beef, aged beef." "Steak," she says. "Yes, steak's good, very good. Steak is actually beef too, but..." "What would you recommend?" she says. And me, with no hesitation, "The aged steak." "Definitely. Special piece of meat, that. Hung for 28 days. Dried. Concentrated flavour. Dark." "Perfect," she says. And she was right. Well, at the time, anyway. "How much?" "I don't know," she says. Looking back, I suppose it was pretty obvious, but I ask... "Well, will you be eating alone?"
"Yes."
And then, like a wolf, circling, "Pretty woman like you shouldn't be eating good steak like this alone. It's an experience, something to savour, something to share. Like seeing the sun set red on Ayers Rock." She softens, rolls over, shows me her belly.
"How about enough for two of us, then?"
"For two of us. For her and for me. Don't be too keen, too smug. Make it too obvious."
"Sorry, madam. Would you like to share it with me?"
And I did. I watched her eat that meat. Rare. A mouthful, then a groan. Another mouthful, then another groan. You have no idea. I couldn't eat mine. Couldn't move. Couldn't take my eyes off her. The blood on her lips, on her teeth. And when she'd finished, I had her. Right there, on that table, licking the blood from deep inside her mouth. Her dress stained as we rocked on bloody plates. Her nails dragged at the skin on my back. She bit my lip, hard, and blood flowed from my mouth into hers. Warm. When we were kids, we cut our hands and did blood brothers. It was a bond for life, this. This was a bond for life. She needed a ring to make it official, but not me. And then, one day, she turned up at work, appearing as she always did, out of nowhere. "I've got some news," she said. "Right." "Well," she said, as if I should know what to say. "Look, I'm really sorry, but can it wait? I finish in an hour, I'm way behind." "But," she said, "you're not listening. Seriously, today has been an absolute nightmare." "Okay, I'll wait." Or you could go, but instead I say, "Fine." And so, our creation grew inside her. Our calf, our lamb, dividing, firming, crisscross strands, fibres forming. After she'd, you know, pushed it out, after all that gas and screaming and air, I mean, she was out of it, so I asked for the afterbirth. A little indulgence I hid at the back of the freezer, and every time she went out, I defrosted another bit. Excited and afraid that at any moment she could walk through the door and find me there, all bloody and naked. Then, when she came home, I suckled from my love. I tasted the thin, sweet water from her breasts. Warm, like her. She would kneel over me and I would feed, like Romulus or Remus, tugging, pulling, until my belly was full, but at some point she started to drift, to lean back, to pull away, and when she appeared that day, she seemed different. Translucent. "We need to talk." Delaying, knowing. "I can't. Not here, not now. What's the matter?" Different, impatient, pushy. Yes, pushy. "Can't you take a break?"
"Maybe."
"Look, I'm going to my sister's. I wanted to tell you. To your face."
"What? Why?"
"You know why." Of course I did. Deep down. But we made a vow. "Look, let me see if I can..." "Actually, no. Maybe it's best if I call you later. Okay." Nodding. Helpless. Out of control. Out of control. "I'll call you tonight. Please." If something's important, really important, we'll do whatever it takes. Even make promises. Promises we know we can't keep. But I couldn't lose her. I wouldn't lose her. And the next day, she came back. But we are what we are. When we were kids, we ate black pudding. Blood sausage. Black blood sausage. Blood and fat. Metallic and salty. And warm. With eggs. And bacon. The Germans call it Fleisch. Literally, flesh. The Germans are braver than us. More pragmatic. Call it what it is. Flesh. Some skin, some muscle, some fat. My grandmother used to eat the brains, the lungs, intestines. A whole pig's face boiled down, then stripped and pressed into a loaf tin. And the rabbit man brought rabbits, still warm. And we'd sit, me in my pants, to keep my trousers clean, plunging hands into hot slits of blood and blue guts. "Please." "Me?" "You look good." Then back at my meat.
"Thanks."
Smiling. "I could take half an hour. I could do with a break." Am I pretending? I don't know. Silence. For an age. And then me again. Where's my princess? She's with my mum. Right, is what I say. But what I see is her mum and me pushing her off a building, a cliff, I don't know, something high, and her flying, falling, stopping, smashing. We're going away. Shattered sockets, but eyes still seeing me looking down. Sorry, what? I know you're really trying, I can see that. But it's not fair, on either of us. But you should be able to, I don't know, be with someone that you can be yourself with. Please, look, just give me a chance to explain. It's too late. You can't just go. I've made up my mind. She's my daughter too. And when it's almost too late, just as she turns away for what could have been the last time. Okay, I understand. I won't try to change your mind, I promise. I just need to talk to you. To explain, please. And I'm crying. Actually crying. Real tears. What time do you finish? How about I meet you in an hour at home? Our home. Do you think that's a good... Yes. The last time, I promise. My eyes. Like a puppy while she pauses. Then, okay, I'm really sorry. I know. I do understand. Don't worry, it'll be fine. I'll see you in a while. Yeah. Watching her as she walks away, and to no one in particular. Thanks. I mean, we're all just meat, right? Overlapping tissue strands, cells, millions and millions of cells, like plants or ants. Just shapes. There was so much blood, too much to save. I filled everything. Jam jars, the thermos flask, those crystal champagne flutes we never got round to using. But she just kept bleeding and moving. Just spasms as muscles misfired. And talking, after she'd stopped crying, saying funny things and giggling like a little girl. And then I go and spoil it all by puking blood and breakfast everywhere, trying my best to keep some of it down, because this way, with her inside me, she'd never leave. She'd be with me forever. Her cells and my cells making new shapes. Together. I made chops and burgers and steaks. I made sausages and stews. There was so much I had to share her. I didn't want to. But there was no room in the freezer, and I'd never been one to waste anything. She's here, mixed in with the diced pork, sealed on a high heat and then slow-cooked, in casseroles. Some carrots, onions, lovely. Lovely meat, madam. You couldn't tell the difference. I know I can.